Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
When the Apostle Paul arrived in Rome as a prisoner, instead of being put in a dungeon, he was allowed to rent a home. He remained chained to a Roman soldier all the time, but he had some freedom to move about the house. Although Paul had been sent to the Gentiles to preach the gospel, his usual pattern of ministry started out with the local Jews first. He invited them to his house and he made an arrangement that on a certain day he would explain the difference between the religion of the Jews and Christianity.
So Paul lived by himself as a free man, except for the constant presence of a soldier chained to him. 3 days after renting a house, Paul called together the leaders of the Israelites living in Rome and said to them,
"My brothers, you see before you a man brought here to Rome as a prisoner to be heard and tried by the emperor. I was arrested in Jerusalem, and though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our ancestors, I thought it best to appeal to Rome, as I am a Roman citizen."
We heard, of course, that you were on your way here to Rome, but not one word has been said against you personally.
But we have heard many things against this new sect to which you belong. They are called Christians, I believe.
For this very cause have I called you together to see you and speak with you. For the hope of Israel, I am bound with these chains.
Even though we have heard nothing amiss against you, we would like to hear you tell us your ideas concerning this Christianity we've heard so much about.
Very well, brethren. We shall set a date, and as many of you as will may come and hear the message of good cheer and the fulfillment of prophecies concerning the coming of the long-looked-for Messiah. Brethren, you yourselves have requested this meeting that I may explain the reasons why I belong to this new religion called Christianity. I shall endeavor to show that religion does not consist of rites and ceremonies, creeds and theories. Rather, it is a practical, a personal experience of God's renewing power upon the soul. I shall testify to the kingdom of God, persuading those who are sincere of the divinity of Jesus of Nazareth. I shall present simple fact. There was a time, my brethren, when almost all Israel, including myself, had a cherished conception concerning the character and work of the looked-for Messiah. When Jesus of Nazareth was proclaimed by some as the Messiah, I rejected him as an impostor because he did not fulfill this common conception of his character and work.
May I ask a question, Paul, sir?
Of course, my brother.
Is it true, sir, that you were treated with abuse and ill consideration?
Whatever has been done to me, good or bad, matters not. Whatever I have done, am doing, or hope to do, is done not to win personal attention or sympathy, but to defend the truth and to uphold and maintain the honor of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Any more questions?
Oh, well, I would like to know, sir, how is it that you've forsaken the religion of our fathers and people for a new and strange religion?
Our people maintain the ritual service of our fathers with great exactness. Yet they are rejecting him who is the antitype of that system.
Did you personally know this Jesus whom you proclaim to be the Christ?
No, but in my unconverted state I had cherished certain opinions of the characteristics and work of the Christ to come. Because Jesus of Nazareth did not fulfill this conception, I rejected him, considering him an impostor. But now my views of Jesus and his mission are far more exalted and spiritual. I am converted. I do not present Christ to you after the flesh.
You speak then of a spiritual kingdom, not earthly.
King Herod saw Christ. So did Annas, the priest. Pilate, the governor. The rulers and priests saw him. Soldiers, many people saw him. but they saw him not with the eye of faith. They did not see him as the glorified Redeemer.
I do not quite comprehend your meaning.
To have a spiritual knowledge of Christ is more to be desired than to have a personal acquaintance with him as he appeared on earth. The communion with Christ that I now enjoy is far more intimate, more enduring, than a mere earthly and human companionship. My first spiritual experience with Jesus came on the road to Damascus, when I had...
Jewish people who wanted to know the difference between Judaism and Christianity came willingly to hear what Paul had to say. Paul had a good standing with them, and he used their scriptures to explain what the prophecies about the Messiah meant and what he would do. Some Jews believed Paul's words, while others disagreed. Paul's final words to them were a quote from Isaiah chapter 6, warning them that those with hard hearts reject God's light and God's word. The Jews went away to have a great dispute between themselves. No one was forced to return to listen to more of Paul's sermons, but a small number of them did. Thus Paul spent the next 2 years speaking about the Lord Jesus to anyone who came to visit him. And many people did. In fact, his preaching reached the whole palace guard and Nero's household. The Jewish rulers in Jerusalem delayed going to Rome as long as possible because they believed the longer they waited, the more the chance of success that they would have at Paul's trial. However, when news reached them that Paul, although a prisoner, was preaching the gospel and making many converts, they decided to delay no longer. Luke finished writing Acts chapter 28 in a victorious way, saying that Paul preached from his own rented house with confidence and that no one told him to stop. This is part of the early history of the Christian church. Paul wrote many letters to the other Christians and churches, and 13 of them are recorded in the New Testament. Paul's letter to the Philippians was written when he was a prisoner in Rome the first time in 62 AD. Philippi was the most northerly city Paul had visited in Macedonia, in northern Greece. He spent time in this city on his second and third missionary journeys. Because Philippi had many Roman citizens and Roman soldiers, it had been made into a Roman colony. There was no synagogue in Philippi, and the church there was small and greatly persecuted. This letter seemed to be the last one in a batch Paul wrote to Ephesus, Colossae, and a personal one to Philemon living in Colossae. All Paul's letters were written in Greek. This one to the Philippians was a letter of thanks to show his appreciation and love for the Philippi Christians for their continued help and support toward him, and to encourage them to keep growing in the Lord. At the commencement of each letter, Paul always showed himself as a servant of Christ, and not as an overlord of the church. He remembered them in his prayers with joy. Why is it so important to rejoice in the Lord? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy is also one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and our rejoicing is proof that the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us. If we continually rejoice in our Lord, we will find it much easier to avoid the sin of complaining and grumbling against God when things don't go so well. Our joy will influence other people to want to know Jesus Christ. If our face is always dark and sad, who'll want to become a Christian? God, by His grace, has begun a good work in each one of us who has believed in Christ. This work began with God imparting to us His Holy Spirit and Christ's righteousness at our confession of sin and need of Jesus as our Saviour, making us a new creation. One day God will bring His new people creations to completion and perfection. We're well aware that in our daily life on earth we aren't perfect and we have many struggles or situations that we struggle to deal with. We mustn't become discouraged or depressed by the situation we may find ourselves in. If we've sinned and our circumstances are a result of our straying from God's path, then we do have natural consequences to face by the choices we make. But God is continually working in us. We should take hope from this, that if we don't lose faith in Christ who lives in us, then God will complete His desired work of making us holy and fit for heaven. Only after the Lord Jesus comes again in glory will the work God has started in our lives become complete. At that time, redemption of our earthly bodies will take place, and we'll become like Christ. But until then, we need knowledge and discernment to know what is the best to say, think, or do. Paul prayed that the Philippians might remain pure and blameless until the day of Christ, when He returns at the end of the world. God has appointed us to bear fruit by making new converts to Christ through our witness and bearing goodness from Christ in all that we do. Our own natural goodness or righteousness is worthless in God's sight. Paul said how he once had been a very strict Pharisee. He said he was faultless as he outwardly obeyed all the rules and regulations of the Jewish law. But he had a legalistic righteousness, and when he received Christ, he said that all his past activities were of no benefit to him. He gave them up so that he might gain Christ and his righteousness instead. There's nothing on this earth more valuable than knowing Jesus Christ personally. Nothing else can give a person salvation or eternal life in heaven. Only by knowing and accepting Christ as our personal Savior can we obtain freedom from our sinful nature and have a position to stand before God the Father with Jesus as our High Priest. While Paul was writing this letter to the Philippians, he said that he hoped in the Lord to send Timothy to visit the church in Philippi. All Paul's hopes were in the Lord, so whatever the Lord willed, Paul was ready to accept the Lord's timing and decision on this. Timothy was a Christian always looking out for the interests of others. He'd served with Paul at Philippi, and he'd cared deeply for the believers there. Paul wrote that everyone else looked out for their own interests and selfishly sought first their own advantage in everything. But Timothy was different. He looked out for Christ's interests first and foremost. All who risk their lives for Christ deserve the respect of other Christians. It was always Paul's custom to give honour to each servant of Christ. He spoke well of all those who served Christ faithfully. Yet Paul warned the Philippian Christians not to follow the pattern of living and example of the enemies of the cross. These are those who say that Christ's death on the cross was not sufficient to save people. Such people say they're Christians, but they're really not. Instead, they're false teachers and they're looking out for their own interests. However, believers in Christ should follow Christ's example of humility as well as Paul's example of how he lived out his life too. Sometimes we need a checkup to see if our life radiates Christ and his holiness in whatever we do. Paul said that such false teachers in the church would be destroyed. They would receive eternal punishment on the day of judgment. Such people don't serve Christ, but rather their own desires and appetites. Their minds are on worldly things and not on spiritual. This is seen by the way they glory in their shameful lusts and acts. Such people are indeed enemies of Christ's cross. A man named Epaphroditus from the Philippian church had brought a gift to Paul, giving him an abundance of supplies. Paul said this gift from the church was a fragrant offering that pleased God. Whenever we help others, particularly those in Christian work, we're presenting a fragrant offering to God too. Whatever we do for our brothers and sisters in Christ, we also do for Christ. But even more than the sacrifice of giving away our money, God wants us to offer ourselves as living sacrifices in obedience to him, putting his desires and interests first before our own. Paul then gives us one of the greatest promises in the Bible. In chapter 4 of Philippians, he said, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." We believers in Christ should always ask for those things which are necessary for our physical well-being and the well-being of others. Yet as far as our spiritual lives are concerned, there's no limit to what we can ask for from God. God is ready to give us spiritual gifts and blessings in abundance. Let us remember Paul's words in Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. "At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.